Hey man, let's go ahead and pray and then we'll jump in this lesson for this training school. Father Yah, we just bless you and honor you, and we thank you for all things. Right now we seek wisdom and understanding on tonight, and we bless you in advance for that. We thank you for your Son and your Spirit and for all things. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. I want to share some things with you guys, and I was really led to not give my personal perspective on things that we were facing as a country, and I just allowed hopefully Yah to be the influencer of the decisions that you made, and not myself, because I had seen so many people try to use their position of influence in order to, you know, to get people to do certain things. And I could really, or I can, I'll say could, I could really relate to what was going on, because I had been approached. You know, I tell y'all the story often. I had been approached and offered $30 million, and what I was told was, we like your charisma, and what we need for you to do is to influence the masses, but we're going to influence you. And so, because I had been offered the deal, I could see clearly when these people were using their influence, because they had accepted the deal, so they would use their influence. And I saw it from all walks of life. I saw it from preachers. I saw it from celebrities. I saw it from different types of people who you know, have strong followings or large followings when it came down to social media. And I was sitting back, you know, looking at all this stuff, you know, and I saw a flash of my father-in-law, and it reminded me of what he said to me when he came to visit us after we had moved into another house, and we were standing out in the yard, and he said, son, he said, who do your yard? I said, Daddy, I do. He said, tell me something. He said, how do you, he said, man, you really did a good job, and your yard looks, you know, outstanding. And so he said, explain to me how you go about, making your yard look this immaculate. He said, show me what you do. So I told him, I said, well, Dad, I said, when I'm doing the during the bushes, you know, I'll get up there with my hedger and I trim, you know, the bushes for a while, and then I'd walk out to the edge of the street where the sidewalk is, and I'd look to see if everything was even, and then I'd go back up close and start, you know, working it until I got everything according to what I felt was the level by which I wanted them to look. And he said, he said, "That's good, son." He said, "And that's wise." He said, "Most people don't realize that they can get too close to their work. That they can get so close to their work that they don't have the opportunity to, or take the opportunity to see how well they're doing." He said, "Sometimes you have to step away from your work and get far back where you can really see what's going on." And when he said that to me, I took that and it became a principle of life. And so when my peace is gone, and I'll say this since I mentioned peace, this past election took my peace away. And when my peace is gone, it lets me know that the spirit is telling me that there's something that's wrong. But again, other people who are led by the spirit of Yah cannot see that things are wrong because they too close up on the work. They too invested in what's going on without actually excuse me. It wet my whistle. You know, without actually sitting back and taking a spiritual look at what's going on. And so as I did this, again, Yah was like, don't say to the church what you see. Don't tell them your decision about voting. You know, don't do any of those things, but allow them to make their own choices without you using your influence as a leader. If I had used my influence as a leader to direct each one of you, or in an attempt to direct any one of you in a certain direction, then I would have been outside or out of the will of Yah. And so I just remained silent. And these people who were commissioned to influence Yah, you know, whether, again, there was well-known people, celebrities, preachers, you name it. I mean, they were really on their really on their job, man, and they was saying this, and everybody had something to say. Now you got the church all tore up because you got preachers fighting now, and you got bishops going against bishops, and bishops saying other bishops are not men of Yah because they voting a certain way or endorse certain people, and all this foolishness. And when you have that kind of stuff going on, it is manifested that Yah is not in it. And so as I'm looking at these things and taking into consideration of these things, one of the ways that they influence specifically us as a people is they push a what I call a guilt trip on us by pointing out the fact of what our ancestors before us went through just so that we could have the opportunity to vote. And we, you know, we sad or we wicked or we ain't, you know, we unrighteous because we refuse to do something that other people work so hard to give us the opportunity to be a part of. And my response to that is, I have two responses to that. And the first one is, no, my ancestors, you know, people who fought for us to vote and different things like that, they didn't go through the things that they went through for us just to vote. But they went through the things that they went through in order for us to vote to bring about a change that would better us as a people. And so don't make it about just voting is what they worked hard to get. No, they worked hard to vote to have certain rights, to be treated equally and things like that. So when I vote, I look at candidates and I say, okay, is this person someone who is going to be a benefit to my nation because they're in that position? And that's the first thing that I look at. And then the next thing, if I'm looking at candidates and they don't fit what I know truly that our ancestors paid the price for us to have a right to do, then my perspective on it is, you know, when I answer people, they, you know, I get some people to ask me, do you vote? And I'll be like, yes, I vote. But I reserve the right not to until I'm given a better choice. In other words, you're not going to just throw anything in front of me and I'm going to vote for it because ain't nobody else out there to vote for it. I'll keep my vote in my pocket. Now, having said that, I was like, okay, what is it that I can show the church in order for them to understand how vitally important it is for us to be kingdom minded? We've dealt with the kingdom of Yah, and the kingdom of heaven is voting a kingdom of heaven and kingdom of Yah thing? Well, there are scriptures that talk about obey them to have rule over you, and you know, there are things that that are in the scriptures that points out that there are rulers and governments and different things like that that's put in place. But what it points out is that they are put in place in a nutshell to make things better for the good of the people that it represents. And so in considering this, I took a look at both sides, you know, and it amazed me, the little petty, and I do stress petty, the little petty things that they would use to try to influence of one person's vote, for either or. And you know, one of the things that I know they used quite a bit to put the Democrats down, and it worked. It worked. I mean, from what I understand, I mean, candidate Harris, man, she got beat badly. Man, it was bad. When you see them states that that candidate Trump won, man, it was a lot of red states, man, and so it spoke volumes about a lot of things. One of the things that they used to, you know, to put the Democratic Party down was the fact that they endorse, you know, sex, what is it, sex changes, and willing to allow the government to pay for it. They would allow people to come across the borders and put them up in housing and give them funds. And here you had folks living here and can't even get their Social Security. you know, a lot of those things that was pointed out, and I still don't know if it to be, you know, completely true or not, because, you know, she said that's what she didn't mean. She said that she didn't mean it, but, you know, way that it came across. But, you know, you get other people who said, well, she did. Well, I'm not the judge of that. That's in y'all's hands. You know, there was one incident where someone supposedly said something about Jesus Christ, and she said, you're at the wrong meeting, and you need to go to the other meeting. And so, you know, look, things like that is what caused the Democrats a lot of problems, and it caused a lot of preachers to go on the other side and not vote for her. And then you had other people who didn't want her because she was a woman. Then you got other people who didn't want her because she's black. And I question, you know, whether or not, I'm just being transparent with you, I question whether or not if she's black, and the reason why is because they clearly say that her mother is Indian, but every time they mention her father, they'll say he's Jamaican. And the way my mind worked, I'm like, what race is Jamaican? It's like me saying I'm American as a race. And people couldn't pick that up, and so they said, well, because she has a certain skin tone and a certain look, that, you know, him being Jamaican means that, you know, she has black and Indian in her. Well, I mean, everything that I've seen as far as a dad is concerned, the dad looks just like the mother, and the mother is clearly Indian. Daddy looks just like the mother. So when they say he's Jamaican, I'm like, okay, that's not a race. There are a whole lot of different races of people who live in Jamaica. It's just like me again saying I'm American. So since I'm American, you classify me as white. That just don't make sense, you know. But that's thrown at people and to push an agenda in order to receive the black vote. Well, it didn't work. They were expecting for a lot of black people to vote for her, and it did not work. It just didn't. People saw right through a lot of things, and a lot of them either didn't show up or they went to the other side. Well, on the other hand, as far as Trump is concerned, you know, he's been identified, according to law, as a thief. womanizer. I mean, all these other things that are said about, you know, about him, were supposedly or allegedly is concrete evidence to be able to bag up these things that that have been said. You know, everything is there. And so, back to me again. As I was standing on the spiritual sidewalk, so to speak, looking toward those spiritual hedges, the work that I saw wasn't of Yah on neither side. And I was like, okay, Yah, since I'm on your side and I don't see anything that reveals that either party is on your side, then I have to look at both parties as an enemy of Yah. Therefore, I have to view it the same way. And so, in doing that, I didn't vote at all. I just didn't vote. I couldn't commit to either one because I understand too much, and to whom much is given, much is required. And so I couldn't just go do something just because I had a right to do it. But I have a right to do something based upon doing it in righteousness. And if I couldn't do it in righteousness, then I just couldn't bring myself to participate. And all of you who did, that's okay. There's nothing wrong, you know, nothing wrong with it, you know, per se. It's just that Yah dealt with me a certain way and he dealt with you a certain way. And I respect how he dealt with you. Okay. And so I was like, okay, Yah, when it comes down to the kingdom, what can I say to the church for us to understand how leaders should be viewed? According, how are leaders viewed, or how are leaders chosen based upon the kingdom of Yah and the kingdom of heaven? How are leaders chosen? So, he gave me a few scriptures that I want to read to y'all, and just to give you opportunity to see, you know, my point of view and why I made the decision that I did. It wasn't an easy decision to make because I do like, you know, participating and using my right to vote. I like expressing that right and things like that. And so it was difficult standing back and letting it take place, but then at the same time it was peace because of what I was doing. So Exodus chapter 18 was started verse 17. We know this story. You know, Moses is judging our nation day and night, and his father-in-law asks him what he's doing, and he explains to his father-in-law what he's doing, and his father-in-law responds in verse 17. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for the thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." He said, "Hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and Yah shall be with thee." Notice who's in the center of this counsel. Yah. "Be thou for the people to Godward, Yahward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto Yah. And so, as I'm looking at these candidates, I'm like, okay, which one of them and their administration would take their causes before Yah, before making a decision that affects all of us? Well, that's the easy answer. Neither one. Verse 20 said, thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Hear from Yah. Let Yah be right in the middle of this. Let the head of this government of Israel, let the head of this government bring the causes to Yah, and then have someone that you can teach laws and statutes and judgments, ordinances and laws, verse 20, so that the nation will know how to walk, okay? Or know how they must walk and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of the people able men. Not your buddy. And that's what you have these administrations do. It's a buddy system. You know, it doesn't matter how crazy that buddy is. It's just a matter of, you know, I'm going to scratch your back and you scratch mine type of deal. And then you have a lot of them who are doing things and they're not even able. They're not even qualified. You're going to see people who are in positions of authority in these administrations. You know, we know that President Trump has won, but if Harris had won, then it means the same. What I'm about to say, you're gonna have people in administration who are not qualified. They're not able. They're just people who are willing to, you know, scratch the back of the person who has the ego and love for his back to be scratched. And so you won't see people who are able in these positions. So things are going to get worse. But my perspective, because I know the mind of Yah and what he has already said, I'm gonna give me some buttered popcorn and a big glass of Kool-Aid, and I'm gonna sit back and enjoy this the next 4 years. Simply because ain't nothing gonna happen that Yah ain't already revealed. And Yah allows things to take place in order to bring about his divine will. And so verse 21 says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear Yah, such as fear Yah, such as fear Yah. Men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of 50, and rulers of tens. Every person that is in these administrations are people who don't fear Yah, people who don't operate in the truth of Yah's word, and they will covet in order to have further success. And that's what has been placed over us as a nation. And they're going to be judging the people for all seasons, at least the next 4 years, you know. Verse 22, and said, let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee. But every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. Then verse 23, he says, if thou shalt do this thing, and Yah command thee so. Yah's in the middle. Let Yah be the deciding judge on how this should be done. I'm giving you advice, but Yah's the one who approves this or disproves. Says, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. The way that you determine, or we determine, if Yah is behind this upcoming ministration is, will they bring peace to the people? Okay. Will they bring peace to the people? So, that's what I mean by I'm sitting back with my popcorn and my glass of Kool-Aid, and I'm saying, okay, I'm gonna see if you really a Christian, like you said you are, and like all the these preachers say that you are ordained by Yah to be in the position that you're in. We're gonna see. Now, Psalms 22, and that's what I love about the scriptures, because the scriptures is our guide for everything. Scripture should be our guide in how we make decisions on a daily basis. Even as far as voting is concerned, the scripture should be our guide. Now, Psalms 22, verse 28 says, for the kingdom is Yah's, and he is the governor among the nations. This whole system, the earth is Yah's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, Psalms 24:1. It all belongs to Yah. It belongs to him. So since it belongs to him, he's letting us know that he is the governor among all nations. Or I'll say it from this angle. He should be the governor of all nations. We know that he is, because we know that whatever takes place, Yah is in total control. But other people who are in positions of authority amongst these nations think that they're in complete control. But Yah is the governor. And so my approach is, okay, I have to be led by the governor of nations in order to make decisions about a nation. He's the governor of nations. So I'm saying, okay, Yah, what is it that you want to see take place? And I want to look at the word governor. It says to rule, dominion, reign, have power. Y'all like, I got the power. So I'm like, okay, y'all, you have the power. You're the governor of all nations. How do you want to lead me to function in this earth? Okay. And so, you know, that's one of the things that came to mind, and so I wanted to point that out. There's another one I'm thinking of. Is it? Let me check. Give me a minute here. I was looking in Proverbs 13, thought I was in 14, because I knew it was in 14. I was like, wait a minute, what's going on? Proverbs 14, verse 34 says, righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Okay. Righteousness then it says sin is a reproach to any people. It says wicked thing. Okay, wicked thing. You know, I love words, and so I like defining them. So righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is a is a reproach to any nation. You can look at the state of our nation and clearly see that we are not a nation of righteousness. Therefore, wickedness is sin is the wickedness of the people. So when you look at the things that's going on, and as I stand back and look at the spiritual bushes, so to speak, I can clearly see what this nation is headed. And this nation is not a nation that operates in righteousness, nor does it have leadership that operates in righteousness. And you can see the effects of sin upon this nation. You can see the effects of it and what's happening to to us as the people within this nation. One of the things that I realize is that when I was a kid, I saw, you often tell this, there was every type of fruit tree that you can think of, it grew in my neighborhood. I mean, you pretty much name it, it grew, and it grew wild. You didn't have to plant stuff. You know, I planted a peach tree a few years ago, and it's growing, but, you know, just taking a little while before it's, you know, it started giving me peaches. But that was something you didn't have to do when I was a kid. You could find peaches just growing naturally out of the ground. You know, peaches, pomegranates, you name it. But what I notice is that what the scripture says that when the nation, as verse 34 says, when a nation doesn't operate in righteousness, you see that reproach up on the people and also up on the land. So wisdom tell me is that the reason why things don't grow the way that they used to is because we as a nation have operated more and more in wickedness. And because of that, the land is mourning and showing the results of our wickedness as a nation. And so what it tells me is that, okay, Lon, if we were a nation that operated in righteousness, then things would be still growing everywhere. The land would yield its fruits to let us know that we are a blessed nation and we operate because we operate in righteousness. And you'll get people that will say, well, God bless America. And I'd be like heck. With this wickedness, and we look at what's going on in this country, and we think that's blessed. Okay. And y'all lets us know. And so I'm looking at the powers to be, so to speak, and I'm saying, okay, you're gonna operate a certain way these next few years, and if you don't operate in righteousness, you know, we're gonna suffer the consequences of it. But yet, because we now talking to us now, yet because we trust Yah, then we'll be okay. That's why I say I'm going to be eating butter popcorn and drinking Kool-Aid through this hill, because nothing's going to have an effect on my life, because Yah is the provider of my life. And I pray that you trust him the same way that he's a provider of yours. All right. Proverbs 21. We'll just look at verse 1. It says, the king's heart is in the hand of Yah. It should be. And so when I look at, in this case, Trump, I'll be like, is his heart in the hand of Yah? Am I seeing a man who Yah has his mind? When I stand back and look at it, spiritually, my answer is no. King's heart is in the hand of Yah. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whatsoever he will. If these preachers who say that Trump is called of Yah to do what he does, then Yah should be able to turn his heart whithersoever he will to bring about good things. Now, one thing I know is this. Yah can raise a Pharaoh. and allow that Pharaoh to do some things so that Yah can prove to Pharaoh that he is Yah. So my mindset is, okay, either Yah is going to turn his head wherever he wanted to go, or Yah is going to use his head and put a hook in his jaw and through the canvas of his will in order to bring things to pass that he's already decreed. So this I do know. Either y'all gonna really deal with him, or y'all gonna deal with him in a way to bring about the destruction that y'all is saying is going to happen. Proverbs 29:2. Proverbs 29:2. I'm just reading verses. Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. See, looking back at the spiritual bushes, when I read that scripture, I ask myself a question. Is everybody okay? Or is it Republicans okay and Democrats sad? Well, everything that I've been hearing so far, you got people stressing and upset and all these different things. So it lets me know that this is stemming from what the scripture clearly points out to us, that when righteousness is in authority, the people rejoice. Everybody is satisfied when righteousness is in authority. If I can't look at that leader and rejoice because they have rule over me, something ain't right. And when I stood back on that spiritual sidewalk and looked toward those spiritual bushes, I didn't see neither authority, neither side, as someone who was righteous, that was going to make righteous decisions based upon the authority that they had. And that's the reason why you got all this disagreement and this confusion that's going on, because righteousness is not the center of the decision making. Pride and arrogance and haughtiness, scripture said, pride go before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. This is what we're looking at. So sometimes y'all say, okay, I'm gonna give you what you want in order to bring about what you deserve. But I want you to know if it was righteousness, then everybody would be rejoicing. So I'm able to sit back and look and say, nah, righteousness is not in the middle of this. Because if it was, everybody would be like, okay, this is okay. I didn't vote for the man, but this is okay.
Pastor Boyce?
Yes.
This is just a comment, kind of like, I think.
All right.
Do you know what some of the women are wanting to do? They're trying to do before B movement.
They're trying to do what, Sister Janice?
It's called the 4B movement.
What is it? Do you know what it is?
They will not have sex. They will not date. I think one of them is they won't get married. And hold on, I gotta look for the other one.
Okay.
But this is a movement that some of the women are trying to do. And I'm like, I didn't quite underline, well, what is that actually going to do? Because they say it comes from being from Korean, where they won't even be your children at all.
Mm-hmm.
That they just won't do it, and they refuse to be to date or marry, no kind of sex at all. And I'm like, what is that supposed to do?
Just bring about more confusion. That's all it's gonna do.
Yeah, I'm not. It's like, okay. I mean, they really aren't taking it too far. Basically,
yeah.
One woman is left her husband because of it. So nobody's really rejoicing in it.
Yeah. Deuteronomy 1, verse 13 says, take you wise men and understanding, and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. Who makes rulers? Yah. But he always have a standard by which he chooses leaders. They have to be wise, understanding, and known among the tribes, especially when it's dealing with our nation. Known among our tribes. I'm like, okay, I don't know nothing about these people. They don't come down to little us. When I look at them, I don't see wisdom according to the laws, statutes, and judgments of Yah. I see education. People who are wise in their own eyes. And so we have to come to the realization that we're in a time frame where Yah is not choosing these leaders. But he gonna use them and put hooks in their jaws to bring about his divine will. Y'all are saying to our nation, you're wicked and I'm going to give you what you are. Because you as a nation as a whole is wicked, I'm going to give you something that is equal to your wickedness. Lana's boss had asked a question. Lana said, well, she told who she voted for, and then she said, but one thing I know is that Yah allowed the one who was most wicked to get in that position in order to bring about his divine will. She was basically saying, Yah is using the most wicked of the two to bring about his divine will. And so that's what we have to understand. When we go back and look at who was the president before this and look at the mindset. And when you look at it like, man, okay, we got a president who can't think longer than 10 seconds. I mean, walk up on the stage and forget how to even walk off, you know, forget where he is and different things like that. Yah allowed us to have what we are as a nation. We done lost our mind, so he said, I'm going to give you a leader. Mind just like y'all's. Now he said, I'm going to give you a leader just as wicked as you are. But see, we don't understand the kingdom of Yah like that. So we think that, you know, this is not something that I deserve. Yeah, we do. When you look at us as a nation as a whole, yeah, we do. We deserve the leader that we got. We deserve it. We didn't deserve Harris. She wasn't wicked enough. Deuteronomy 17. And then I'm done. Deuteronomy 17 verse 14 says, talking to our nation now, when thou art come unto the land which Yah thy Yah giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will sit a king over me, like all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt anywise sit him king over thee, whom Yah thy Yah shall choose. One from among thy brethren shall I sit king over thee, that thou mayest not sit a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. Yeah, Israel, we're supposed to vote, but at the same time, we're supposed to have the understanding that Yah is the one who set rulers over us. And although there are certain things we can't practice now, you know, because we're still in captivity, we can't, you know, if we were not in captivity, we wouldn't allow a stranger, someone who is not an Israelite, to be our leader. And that person who would become our leader, Yah would have to choose him. We didn't have the choice of who would be our leader. We just had to follow the rule. He has to be among your brethren. You know, you have to allow Yah, or Yah is going to choose that leader to be king over you. You can't have a stranger, which is not thy brother. That's the reason why we're in the position that we're in, is because we have leaders of these administrations who are not members of our nation or our brethren. So they'll never position us to benefit. So here you got all these different Israelite, whether it's preachers or celebrities or, you know, other well-known media people and different things like that, who are pushing certain candidates, and they already know that this candidate is not going to do anything that we need. They already know it. Y'all remember when we were bamboozled by President Obama? We came out of the woodworks, boy, and voted. Someone say something? You didn't want to say something? Okay. We came out of the woodworks and voted. What did we get? Nothing. Nothing. Not a thing. Verse 16. No, I won't read verse 16. Verse 15. I'll read verse 16 and then read down, and then we'll close. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses, for as much as Yah has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Okay, our leaders shouldn't be leading us in directions that Yah telling us not to do. So I should be able to go and look at this leader and say, okay, is he making or passing laws? Is this administration making or passing laws that go against Yah's laws? I shouldn't be having, or we shouldn't be having to accept laws and decision making that goes against Yah. And when those people, regardless of what party they are, when those people do that, then my righteousness rise up and say, no, I can't, you can't influence me like that. And don't throw up the, it's my right to vote and all these different things. No, don't throw that stuff in my face when you going against the laws, judgments, and statutes of my Yah. You passing laws and you passing, you making decisions based upon what we know goes against Yah. But then I want to pick you because one thing you do that the Bible says you're supposed to do. So you take one out of 100 and then you say vote for me. No, I can't do it. I need everything to be coming from Yah. That's how serious I am about my walk. And I can take it. I can take the criticism. You know, I can take whatever anyone has to say, whether they disagree with me or not. I can take it. It don't matter to me. I can take it. I'm built for this. Verse 17 said, neither shall he multiply wives to himself that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. All these candidates go in halfway poor or got a little money and they come out filthy rich. Son of God, they operating in righteousness. Every last one of them went and sit in that administration and got rich off of the resources of the people. But yet, nothing came, nothing pretty much came our way as the citizens of this nation, but they gave the big shots their portion and their breaks and all these different things. Man, nobody got time to fool with this wickedness. Verse 18, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him that he shall write him a copy of the law in a book out of that which is before the priest the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear Yah, his Yah, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. Okay. Trump got his own Bible, but I guarantee you he ain't going to be reading it every day. Verse 20 says that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So when I look at leaders, let's get ready to close. So when I look at leaders, I see what a leader should be through the eyes of the kingdom. And I'm mature enough now and wise enough to stand my ground and say, if you, whichever party you are, if you don't line up with the law, statutes, and judgments of my Yah and keep them, if you don't get lifted up and think you better than us, you can't follow Yah? Nah, I ain't wasting no vote. I may never vote again. Because it's for me and my house, we serve Yah. I need to see Yah in leadership. A other than that, obey them that have rule over you does not apply. That's talking about someone who is operating in the righteousness of Yah. It ain't just saying obey anybody that's ruling. All right, I'm done. I've given you my 2 cents worth, and whatever is worth to you, you can do whatever you want to with it. And that's all I got to say. Any questions or comments? You're good? Okay. I'll go ahead and pray and we'll be dismissed. Father Yah, we bless your name on today, and we thank you for just allowing us to see things the way you see it. And we have to be bold enough to not be pressured out of your will. But regardless of what's around us and what surrounds us and try to influence us, we're going to stand for Yah. We're going to stand for you, Yah. And we give you glory for that. And thank you for giving us the strength to be able to do it. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.
This session is no longer being recorded.